we are so excited to announce something brand new here at Bayshore Community Church. Available now on any of the app stores, either Apple or Android or even Amazon, is the exciting Bayshore Church app for your mobile device. Now, this app is chock full of content for you to use to engage with Bayshore. There's a sermon archive where you can browse past messages from both campuses. There's ways for you to sign up for classes, for events, for small groups. There's events calendar so that you don't miss anything that's happening. There's even a Bible reading section where you can get daily updates on where we are reading in the Bible. Also, this app has a great new giving feature, a very sleek and efficient way to easily give anytime you like and also have reoccurring gifts. So be sure to check out our app. You can go to bayshorecc.org/app. That's bayshorecc.org/app. And find links to download the Bayshore Church app.
All right. Hey, there's a line in that song that says, I said I loved your shirt, but behind your back I said I hate it. I'm curious, and be honest, you're in church. Anybody here ever done that before? You said you like somebody's shirt, but you didn't really like it? Come on, hands up, hands up. Man, me too. That's bad, isn't it? Actually, kind of think of it. I told Bo, our worship leader, this morning I liked his shirt, and I wonder what he's thinking right now. No, I really do love Bo's shirt. There you are, man. That guy is awesome. My big fat mouth gets me in trouble. That's what we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks, and I know I'm a little biased, but I have loved this series. I hope you've enjoyed this series. I know my wife's enjoyed this series because I've had to do this stuff at home, okay? So she's gotten the benefit from it from me. But anyway, I've loved this series. And if you're just new with us or you haven't been a part of the series at all, over the last 3 weeks, we've hit up things like complaining and criticizing and lying. And if you missed that, you can catch up on all of that through our Facebook page. We record these all. They're all on our Facebook page. They're on our Bayshore app. Which, by the way, if you're not rocking the Bayshore app, it is amazing. You got to get the Bayshore app. You can listen on our podcast, or you can listen on 99.1 on the radio. And I think right now they're probably playing last weekend's lying message, and that's pretty cool, right? Yeah, yeah. And so we call all of those things our online family. And speaking of our online family, we have our newest listener in our online family. Her name is April Watt. And April was here for my Big Fat Mouth Part 1, but she's from PA. And so she went back to PA, and she emailed us this week, and she said, hey, I'm a podcast listener now. Or actually, she downloaded the Bayshore app, and so she's with us. And so welcome to the family, April. We're glad you're here. And I was hoping you all could just on three say, what's up, April? All right? You seem a little sleepy, but this is going to get you out, all right? What's up, April? Here we go. One, two, three.
What's up, April?
I love it. That's awesome. Thanks for being with us, April. All right, today, what we're going to do is we're going to put this whole series so far together. And so this is like a package deal message. This is a 3-for-1 deal. And I'm calling today's message, and that's the way I want it. And that's the way I want it. Okay, so turn to the person next to you and say, what? Come on, tell you, okay. Some of you are playing along. All right, turn to the person on the other side and say, I don't know. He's the preacher. Okay. All right. Today, all right, here's what I want to do. I want to start with a question. And here's my question. Have you ever noticed that sometimes, just sometimes, small things make a big difference? You noticed that before? And let me give you a few examples, okay? Before me and Stacey started dating, I ate about 5 foods. And I think I hit all of the major food categories, okay? Like in my diet, I had bananas. That's good. It goes downhill from there. I ate roasted and salted peanuts. Pizza, of course. Anything including meat, except for meatloaf, in case you were here last weekend. And all things carbohydrates. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but carbs lead to happiness. And if you don't believe me, just get grumpy and eat a cinnamon roll, okay? You'll find out. Carbs make me so happy. But anyway, when Stacy and I started dating, Stacy had a goal. And her goal was to get me to eat foods that were outside of those 5 foods and foods that I had no interest in eating. And obviously, we are talking about sushi. And so, any sushi people in the room? Any sushi people in the room? Okay. So here's what happened. Most of you guys eat sushi. Stacy and her brother convinced me and her dad, Jay, to try sushi for the very first time. Now, if you're a sushi person, there's this whole system to eating sushi. First, you order your roll, and then you start making this dipping bath, okay? It starts with soy sauce, and then you put some ginger in there, and then if you're brave, you put a little dab of wasabi. Now, I said a little dab of wasabi, you guys. Now, Stacy's dad, when we're sitting there, he loves spicy stuff. And so Stacy's showing us what to do. And Stacy's dad, Jay, was like, well, Stacy, what's that green stuff? And Stacy said, well, Dad, that's wasabi. We go easy on the wasabi. And he loves spicy stuff. And so he's like, no, you need to put it all in the soy sauce. And Stacy's like, no, Dad, it will light you up. Okay, no. And he didn't care. He took his fork, because Jay doesn't use chopsticks. So we're working a fork. He took his fork and he put the whole thing of wasabi into the soy sauce. And his first bite of sushi was basically a fork full of wasabi. And I will never forget his face. And I won't try to imitate it because I can't, okay? But how many of you know a little bit of wasabi makes a big difference? Yes, and I don't think Jay has ever eaten sushi again. I don't know. We were talking about that last night. Here's another example. When I was a kid growing up, and all my examples lately have to do with food. I don't know why, just, if you're on a diet, I apologize, but just bear with me. But when I was a kid, our family didn't have any money, okay? I literally grew up for the first 5 years of my life in a single-wide trailer in the parking lot of the church. So do you think I went to church a lot? Yeah, I literally lived on the premises, you guys. And so we didn't have any money. And so we didn't eat fancy food like hardly ever. But every once in a while, my mom would buy our family steak. Now, my mom, okay, bless her heart. And you know in church, if you say bless your heart, now you can say whatever you want. Okay, so my mom, bless her heart, she had one method for cooking steak. She would go to Food Lion and she would buy a steak that was like paper thin. It had to be like a quarter inch thin. And then she'd go home and she'd get out a cookie sheet and she'd put the paper-thin steak on the cookie sheet and then she'd put Worcestershire all over it. And then she would stick it in the oven on broil for as long as it took for the whole thing to curl up into a ball like this. I mean, it looked like a burnt piece of campfire wood or something. It was, and tasted worse, okay? My whole childhood, I didn't realize steak had a taste. I thought steak was just like bad chewing gum or something. I didn't know. I was like, this is a special meal. This doesn't seem special, Mom. I don't know. Like, and so anyway, anybody experienced that kind of steak growing up? Anybody? Maybe you experience it now. We'll pray for you or something. I don't know. When I turned 16, one of my buddies, his name was Jesse, he found out about my mom's steak situation. And so he made me order a medium rare steak. Now, this was against my will. I did not want to do it because my mom had always told me, like, if you eat a steak and it's a little red in there, you're going to get parasites and probably die or something. So I was scared to death, and I ordered it reluctantly, and I got to taste my first medium rare steak. And let me tell you, when I tasted it, I can't verify this, but I think the heavens opened because I heard what sounded like angels singing. Like, I tasted steak for the first time, and it was great. And so, how many of you know a little change in how you cook steak makes a big difference? So, small things make a big difference. Small things like changing your oil every 3,000 miles, or, you know, just working out, even if it's 20 minutes a day, or not cooking a steak on broil for an hour and a half makes a big difference. Why? Because small things make a big difference. And that's not just true when it comes to steak and wasabi. I also think it's true, maybe even more true when it comes to the words that we speak. And if you haven't been following along with us, if I could just kind of put this whole series in a sentence, here's what I would say, and we'll throw this on the screen. I'd say that words are a small thing, but they make a big difference. Your words are a tiny little thing, but they make a massive, massive difference. Isn't that true? Look, don't miss this, okay? With your small words, you can give someone a boost. But at the same time, with your small words, you can bury someone. And couples, don't say amen when I say that, but you know that, right? And so you can boost them or you can bury them. And so say that with me. You can boost them. Let me make it first person. I can boost them or I can bury them. All right, with your small words, you can be an undertaker. And nobody wants to have an undertaker in their life, right? But here's the good news, and we'll throw this on the screen. If you want to change the life you have, you've got to change the words you speak. If you want to have a better marriage, if you want to have a better relationship with the person that you're dating, if you want to have a better relationship with your own kids, if you want to be a better boss or a better coworker, okay, small changes to your words can make a big difference. Why? Because small things make a big difference. Now, that's just not my idea. I actually stole it. I stole it from a guy named James. And James is a guy in the Bible. And so let's look at James chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, because he goes over this whole idea of our words can boost and bury, and small things make a big difference. Here's what James says. He says, we can make a large horse. Wait, a what size horse?
Large.
So we're talking about a big horse, right? Big horse. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. What size bit?
Small.
Big horse, small bit. Another example he gives, he says, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. Okay, wait. You seeing that small things make a big difference?
Yeah.
All right, you ready for the tie-in with our words? All right, here's what James says. He says, in the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark, okay, a tiny spark of your tongue can set a great forest on fire. And so with your words, guys, you can set someone on fire. And so now you're not just an undertaker, you're an arsonist. That's the bad news. But the good news is with your words, your small words, you can set someone free. You can give someone a boost. In the Bible, there's this guy named Solomon. And if you're kind of like new to this whole church thing or new to this whole Jesus thing, you might not know that when we look at Solomon, the Bible describes him as the smartest person of all time. The wisest person of all time. And so whenever he says something, as a Jesus follower myself, I lean into what he says. And he talks about our words in Proverbs 18:21. And here's what Solomon says. He says, the tongue can bring death or life. Say, bury or boost.
Bury or boost.
Bury or boost. The tongue can bring death or life. Now, I know something about you all. I don't want to freak you out. But I know something about you. You have experienced words that bury and words that boost before, haven't you? You know how I know? Because you're breathing. We all have, okay? And sometimes when we have words spoken to us that bury us, we bring it on ourselves, okay? Let me give you an example. My wife, Stacy, is my main booster. She's my main squeeze, and she's my main booster. I love this woman right here. She's awesome. But I created a bury situation for myself last Easter, and it all started when I bought these white jeans that I'm wearing today. Here's what happened. I don't remember. I think Stacey's out of town, or I decided to go shopping by myself. That's all I know, and that is never a good idea. And so I went shopping by myself, and I saw these white jeans, and I was like, oh, who's got white jeans? Not me. I'm going to get myself some white jeans. So I bought these white jeans, and I came home, and when Stacy got home from her trip or wherever she was, and she wasn't shopping with me, whenever she came home, I modeled them for her. You know, I was just like walking around in my white jeans, you know, whatever. And I was like, check out my pants. And she's like, oh, okay. You got some white pants there. And I was like, yeah, aren't they great? I'm going to wear these on Easter. And I said, hey, what do you think? Do you like them? And my wife is so kind because she wouldn't really answer the question. You know, I was like, do you like them? And she's like, well, I like Easter. Well, me too. Okay, I'm a preacher. I like Easter too. But finally, she was like, baby, I love you. I don't really love your white pants. And I felt a little buried in my white pants in that moment. But a little redemption. If you're wearing white pants here today, me and you, solidarity. Also, Stacy last night was like, they're not so bad. So I got a not so bad at them. But anyway, we've all been in a situation. That's such a light way. But we've all been buried by words before. You know, someone says to you, oh, you got your hair cut. Did you want it to look like that? You know, or someone says, oh, you're not married yet? No, but thank you. Thank you for the reminder, right? Or someone tells you, you're no good at anything. All those things bury us. But the good news is every one of us have experienced words that boost us before. Okay, we've all had someone say to us, well, maybe not all of us had this specifically said to us, but, you know, someone maybe says to you, man, I'm so proud of you. Or someone might say to you, you killed that sales pitch. Like, we're so glad you're on our team. Or, you know, maybe somebody says to you, you look strong today. You look like Chris Hemsworth or something. Just for the record, no one has ever said that to me. But anyway, words that boost are the best, okay? I remember when me and Stacey got married on our wedding day. Me and my groomsmen were in this little side room of the church. It was the same church that I grew up in, the parking lot, and, you know, it's our other campus, and I'm at this room with my groomsmen, and Stacy's sister comes in the room, and Stacy had her sister deliver something for me, and I also think she was sending her sister in there to make sure I wasn't wearing white pants to the wedding, but she gave me this love note that Stacy had written me. And I was so excited because I hadn't seen my bride that day. And so I got this love note. And she said things in there like, you're amazing. I can't wait to marry you. You're going to be the best husband. You know, you look like Chris Hemsworth. I added that last part. Anyway, she didn't say that. But she said all these wonderful things to me. And I would read the note to you. But on the very front of the note, she literally wrote, for your eyes only. Because at the end, it got a little steamy. There's like 50 things I'd like to say right now, but it make an awkward church experience for you. But anyway, those words boosted me so much that for the last 10 years, everywhere I go, I carry that note that Stacy wrote me. And I've read these words a ton of times, and these words just, they boost me. It just did something in me. And so, you know, if you're here and maybe you're thinking about stealing my wallet so you can read the steamy part, if you do that, we'll probably never make eye contact ever again, okay? So don't do that. But words can give us a boost, okay? They can make a big difference on us. And so you can give someone a boost or you can bury someone. You can be somebody's cheerleader or you can be somebody's undertaker. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about your words. I want you to think about the words that you speak to other people. Okay, and I want you to do you. Don't be like elbowing your spouse or anything. Like, this is about you. I want you to think about the words you speak to other people. And we're going to put this chart on the screen, and I want you to figure out what kind of words you normally speak to other people. Do you speak words that boost or words that bury? Okay, so if you're listening to the podcast and you can't see this, this is just a numbered 1 through 10. And on the left side, it's words that bury, and on the words that bury, and on the right side, it's words that boost. And so, I want you to think, where would you put you in the words that you speak to other people? And so, for instance, words that bury. We all know what words that bury are like. Okay, for example, maybe you're someone who normally says to somebody, you're such a mess, can't you just clean things up? You're so disorganized. Or, you know, this steak from Food Lion that you made, it's like, tastes like an old baseball card or something. Or driving, you're the worst driver ever. I hate it when you drive. These are words that bury. And if this is you, you're going to give yourself a 1, 2, 3, 4, something like that, okay? Then there's words that boost, okay? Maybe for you, you are an encourager. You're the one who says things like, man, husband, you are amazing. I'm so glad I married you. Or maybe you say to a coworker or an employee that you hire, like, man, we're so glad we brought you on the team. You have just been an amazing part of our team. Or maybe you say to your spouse, man, you drive like you're a NASCAR. You should be a NASCAR driver. I didn't know you could draft in a minivan on Plantation Road or something. I don't know. But you speak more words that boost people. And that's you. You're going to give yourself a 6, 7, 8, 9, something like that. So you guys see this chart? Are you thinking of your number where you would put yourself on this chart? Got your number? All right, hold on to it. Because my goal is for you to just move up 1 point. That's it, all right? I'm not saying, hey, if you're not a 10, you're not in. I just want you to move up 1 point on this chart, okay? Does it sound good? Let me give you two ways that you can move up 1 point on this chart, okay? And the first one is this. If you can't say something helpful, bury it. If you can't say something helpful, bury it. My mom used to say, if you can't say something nice, don't say it at all, okay? And so if you can't say something helpful, bury it. Now, have you ever said something to someone and then afterwards you thought, Why did I say that? Should have said that. I love Jimmy Fallon. He's my favorite late night talk show host, and I'm never up late at night, but I do sometimes watch some of his clips on YouTube. And he does a sketch called #WhyDidISayThat. And he has people just send in tweets of something that they shouldn't have said, and then at the end, they hashtag it, why did I say that? You want to see some examples? All right, let's throw this first one on the screen. @OnePeaceForAll said, guy at DMV asked for my phone number. I said, you wish. He said, it's for the paperwork. Hashtag, why did I say that? I love that. Here's another one. This is funny, too. At Jody and Matt said, once said excuse me to a mannequin. Then I realized it wasn't a real person, so I said, oh, you're not real. Sorry. Anybody done that? Anybody? We had two in the first service, so I don't know. Okay, here's the last one, and I think this is my favorite. At AngelSteve89 said, getting a haircut. Barbara asked me what I do for a living. I said, advertising. What about you? He replied, I'm a barber. Oh, some of you like that. We're just trying to have a little fun in here. But look, we all say things sometimes to someone else, and then afterwards we think, why did I say that? Why didn't I bury that? Why didn't I just skip that? It would have been so much better. What if our motto was, if it's not helpful, I'm not going to say it? What if that became your motto? If it's not helpful, I'm not going to say it. Here's how Paul put that same idea. Ephesians 4:29. Paul said this. He said, do not let any unwholesome talk. Okay, we're talking about things that are not helpful. Don't let anything that's unwholesome come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. It sounds like words that boost, right? Only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Look, let's leave this verse up here for just a second, okay? Because this verse, if you live out this verse, I believe it will change your life. You want to know the secret to a better marriage? The secret to being having a better relationship with your kids? The secret to being a better boss? The secret to being a better coworker? The secret to making Facebook a better place to hang out? It is not like updating their privacy policy, you guys, okay? It's better than that. The secret to all these things getting better is not a secret at all. It's this verse. If you want to have a better marriage and you want to have better relationships, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, not your needs, their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Look, that verse is amazing. If you think something that's not helpful, bury it, skip it, okay? Because sometimes, not saying anything is the best thing to say. Isn't that true? And so that's the first way. The second thing is this, and this will move you up one point, okay, if you do this. If you think something good, say it. Every single time you think something good, say it. I heard a guy named Craig Rochelle say that years ago, and it became like a life motto for me. And I don't always get it perfect, but every time I think something good about someone, about you guys, about a situation, about God, even about myself, my goal is to say it. And here's why. If you check out Proverbs 16:24, I love this verse. This is such a great verse. Proverbs 16:24 says, kind words are like honey. They are sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. Your kind words are sweet to the soul and they are healthy to the body. Now, I want you to notice that this verse does not say kind thoughts are sweet and like honey. Okay? Kind thoughts. Now, I believe you all have kind thoughts. Okay, maybe sometimes you're eating dinner and you're like, man, this dinner is good. And you're thinking that. Or maybe you see your spouse and you're like, man, she's looking great tonight or today. You look great right now, baby. But if you think that, okay, or maybe you think something like, man, this volunteer who's watching my kids during church today, they are amazing because my kids are crazy. If you think those things, that is great. But thoughts never gave anybody a boost. Words do. And so if you think something good, say it, because you have no idea how one small word can make a massive difference in somebody's life, because small things make a big difference. Every single Sunday before I step on this stage, my mom, okay, she sends me a text to give me a boost. Every single Sunday. She says things like, you're going to kill it today. Or she'll send me a Bible verse. Or like this morning, she told me she was praying for me. Sometimes she tells me that I'm her favorite son. That's for my brother who's in the back of the room. But every single Sunday, she says, leaves me a text like she did this morning. In fact, here's one she wrote me a few weeks ago. She sent this to me. It's coming. There it is. She was off this day because she works at our other campus, but she happened to have that day off. She said, been laying in bed and enjoying the morning off, praying for you. You're going to knock it out of the basement today. Love you. Come on. Like that is so encouraging to me. And my mom's funny. The basement thing. I think that's funny. but here's the deal, okay? You want to know why I'm like wired on the stage and why the camera person like yells at me, just quit moving? It's not because I drink a 5-hour energy. It's because I got these words and they boost me. Every single Sunday morning, I get to read those words and they give me a boost. And so if you think something good, say it. Give somebody a boost because you have no idea how a small word can give somebody a boost. I have a childhood friend, and his name is Tommy, or Tommy Joe, or Tommy Jr. He's one of those guys with a lot of names as well. And his whole life, he shared his birthday with his grandmother. And every single year on his birthday, his grandmother would say to him, you're my favorite birthday present. Tommy, you're my favorite birthday present, because they shared their birthday together. And a week and a half ago, Tommy lost his grandmother. She passed away. And he wrote this post on Facebook, and it just grabbed me because I was thinking about this message ahead of time. And let me just read what he says. And this is Tommy right here with a massive beard and his grandmother with a mohawk, which is pretty great. And Tommy says, me and my cool rock star of a grandmother. I know my pop-up is thrilled to see her in heaven now. I love you, my mom. And I'm happy to have shared 41 birthdays with you. It's hard knowing you're no longer physically here. To me personally, my birthday was just another day, but what made it really special is that for 41 years, I got to hear the thing that made it special, that I was your favorite birthday present. My future birthdays aren't going to be the same without you. And he goes on and says a few more things, but the fact that his grandmother told him, you're my favorite birthday present, that still sticks with him. And it will stick with him decades and decades from now. Like that's powerful. Our words, guys, can give someone a boost even well beyond our time here on earth. And so if you think something good, send the text. If you think something good, pick up the phone. If you think something good, write the comment or tell the person or write a note. And if you're married, you can put steamy stuff in there. It's okay, right? What if your motto was, if I think something good, I'm going to say it? Never hold back or rob anybody of a blessing or a boost. And if you would do that, I'm telling you, it will change your relationships. It'll change what happens in your life and how you navigate through life. And it will change your whole life and the people around you. That right there. And so I just want you to know, if you think something good, say it. And I don't want you to just say it when it comes to other people. I also want you to do that for yourself. When you think something good, you need to say it to yourself, as strange as that may sound. We're going to put this other sketch on the screen, this other graphic on the screen. This time, okay, before we were talking or thinking about words that we say that bury other people and boost other people, I want you to think about the words that you speak to you. Do you speak more words that bury yourself or more words that boost yourself? Because I have a theory, and my theory is that the person we say the most burying words to is ourselves. Okay, we say things like, why don't I look like her? Or why can't I just be as successful as that person? Or I'm no good at anything. We normally say that kind of stuff instead of saying, you know, God, you've equipped me for this meeting today, and it is going to be awesome. We don't normally wake up saying, like, God, you've given me what I need to be an amazing dad today. Like, that's words that boost. And so I want you to think about, what kind of words do you normally speak to you? Words that boost or words that bury? I want you to pick out a number. All right, don't say it out loud. But you got your number? You know where you're at on this? Okay, so I'm going to help you move up 1.5 minutes, and then we're going to wrap this thing up, okay? Because the small words that you say to yourself can change your life. There's a guy in the Bible named David, and David, at one point, he was being chased by his enemy. He thought they were literally going to kill him, and so he said some words to himself to give himself a boost. Let me show you. It's in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, and this is the old King James Version. It says, David, after these people were chasing him, it says, but David encouraged himself. Wait, what did he do? He encouraged himself. And not just with like his own words. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Look, would you like to know how to keep yourself encouraged? Because I think we need to know. Because we're not always going to have a note in our wallet giving us a boost, right? We're not always going to have that text message from somebody at the right time. You need to know this. I can encourage myself. You can encourage yourself. Look. If you come up to me and you say something nice to me, or you give me like an attaboy, or you send me a note, I just want you to know I appreciate that. But even if you don't, even if you're too busy, or you don't know what to say to me, or you got your own stuff going on and you're just not there, I need you to know I'm okay. I'm okay because I can encourage myself. Because greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. You need to know you can't always count on a note in your wallet. You can't always count on a comment on your Facebook page. You can't always count on a call from the mom. Okay, you can't always count on that stuff, but you can encourage yourself. Sometimes you just got to say to yourself, okay, God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. You need to tell yourself, I am more than a conqueror because of Jesus. You need to tell yourself, I am fearfully and wonderfully made by the hand of God, and God does not make garbage. I can encourage myself. That is such a big thing. And so you need to know you can encourage yourself. So how do we do this? Okay, because that's like, oh, yeah, okay, I should do that. How do we do it? Here's how. Let's put this on the screen. You need to say what you want to see. Now, I know that sounds like a John Mayer song. Except that's like say what you need to say, I think. I don't know. Okay. But say what you want to see. Now, here's what I'm not saying. I am not saying you go in your garage today and you say, I need to see a Range Rover in Jesus' name. We are not that kind of church, you guys, okay? I'm saying you say things that line up with God's truth, okay? Things that line up with God's truth. So you say things like, man, God, I want you to bless my marriage, and you say it out loud. Or you say something like, God, I know you can and you will heal this person, and you say it out loud. Or you say, you know, I know we're in debt now, but we are going to buckle down and honor you with our money, God, and we're going to thrive financially in the future. And you say it out loud. Say what you want to see. My boy Nixon is, he's our emotional kid. I don't know if you guys have an emotional kid, but he's our emotional one. And he's the one who, like, if you give him a cookie, he's more excited than, like, you know, a tourist in Candy Kitchen. Like, he's just, oh, yeah. But if he happens to drop that cookie and our dog Eli eats it, which happens literally every single day. Okay, all you see are just tears coming down his face. He's like on the front row of a John Mayer concert. I don't know, he's just crying. Like, and so he's emotional. Now, our daughter Nora is not emotional at all. So there's just this wild difference between the two. But my boy Nixon has a default line that he says. And he says it all the time. He says, I can't do it. I can't do it. And anything we ask him, okay, we can say, you know, Nixon, why don't you put on your pants? I can't do it. You know? Why don't you put on your underpants and not on your head today, just like correctly, I can't do it. You know, or, you know, climb up on your bike, I can't do it. And so every time he goes into this mode, me and Stacy work with him, and he'll be like, I can't do it. And we're like, Nixon, you can do it. He'll be like, no, I can't do it. And we're like, Nixon, buddy, you can do it. Like, I can't. And eventually he'll go from, I can't, and we keep on saying, you can. And eventually he'll say, I can do it. I can Velcro my little Velcro shoes correctly today. I can't put on my underwear correctly today, not on my head, okay? And after he does it, he's so excited. After he, like, does it correctly or puts his pants on or whatever, he's just like, I did it. I did it. And so all we're trying to do is to show him to say what he wants to see. So you say what you want to see because small changes in your words can make a massive difference in your life, because if you want to change the life you have, you got to change the words that you speak. And so let me get super practical. Super practical, and this is your homework, and we're closing up, and you guys can get out of here, okay? If you do this practical step, your life will get better. I promise you. You'll do this say what you want to see thing, and your life will get better, okay? So you ready for this? It's going to make your life better. I thought you'd get a little more excited about that, okay? All right, that's fine. But here it is. We'll put this on the screen. Every time you say something, make sure you can add the phrase, and that's the way I want it, after it. Every time you say anything, make sure you can add the phrase, and that's the way I want it, after it. You guys see some examples? Okay. So and when, if you're talking about marriage, okay, what you don't say is, my marriage stinks, and my husband is a bum, and this thing is never going to work out, and that's the way I want it. That doesn't work, right? You don't say to your kid, hey, son, you are a complete disorganized mess. You're probably going to live in my basement forever, and that's the way I want it. Because no parent wants that, right? Anyway, or you know, this steak I cooked, it just tastes horrible. I can never cook a steak right, and that's the way I want it. None of that works. And so how does it work, okay? You say things like this, okay, I know my marriage is struggling right now, but I'm going to love my spouse like Christ loved the church, and we are going to get out of this mess, and we are going to fall in love again, and that's the way I want it. Or you say something like, I know we're in debt right now, but we are going to buckle down and get into a budget, and we're going to honor God with our finances, and we are going to thrive financially, and that's the way I want it. Or you say, I know my kid is not the most organized kid in the entire world, but he loves people hard. He loves people so well, and he's such a great friend to his friends, and that's the way I want it. You see the difference? If you can add that phrase, and that's the way I want it, after everything you say, that small change will make a massive difference in your life. Say what you want to see. Encourage yourself. If you think something good, say it. If you can't say something helpful, bury it. Why? Because our words matter. And if we want to change our world, we have to change our words. Because small things make a big difference. And if you'll change the words you speak, you can honor God with your life. If you change the words you speak, you can make your relationships in your life better. And if you'll change the words you speak, you will live a life that honors Jesus. And that's the way we want it. Let me pray for you guys. Jesus, I know that this thing that we all have, our mouth, gets us in a lot of trouble. And we take it down paths that we shouldn't take it down. And I'm so thankful that so many people in the Bible, so many of the Bible heroes, like David and Paul and Solomon and all these guys talked about our words because we need to know what to do. And so, God, I just pray that we'll walk out of here knowing that with our words, we can give someone a boost. But at the same time, we can bury someone. Help us to know that our words are small, but they make a big difference. And God, I know you want us to be a representative of you as we walk out of this place. And so, God, I pray that we'll start with our words to do that. And God, we'll show people a better perspective of Jesus because of the words that we speak. And so, God, we just love you. We honor you with the words that we say. And God, we're thankful that you're going to give us the tools we need to do that. In your name, amen. Guys, thank you so much for being here for the final part of my big fat mouth, part 4. Do not miss next weekend. Next weekend on Mom's Day, it's going to be awesome. If you are a guest, stop by the VIP Center and turn in your card, and they're going to give you a freebie. And other than that, we'll see you guys next week. Love you guys.